thankful to be free. Thankful to be free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 9 tonight. Luke chapter number 9. We'll start reading in verse number 37. Read through verse number 42. Thankful for this opportunity. Thankful to be allowed to be youth pastor here. I appreciate it. I love the youth group. I know I'm way older than them, but they are my friends, and I hope I can be a help to them. And we pray for them and think of them often. And I just appreciate this church. I'm slightly nervous tonight, but I know that the Lord is going to help us. So read with me if you would. You don't have to read aloud. I'm not good at leading that out, but you can read in your Bible there. Luke 9:37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. They're all amazed at the mighty power of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I love your word, and I'm thankful that you speak to us through it. Lord, I pray that that will be the case tonight, Lord. That my words will be few and your words will be many to the hearts, God. Send your spirit by, Lord, to touch and to confirm, Lord, to speak to young hearts and old hearts alike. In between, Lord, any way you fix it, Lord, move in these altars, God, I pray. I pray, God, we need a moving of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need you, Lord. So please do that tonight. Thank you, God, for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This portion of scripture here, it follows Jesus and his disciples coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Just a little context there. He took his inner circle up. He took Peter, James, and John up onto that mountain. And most of us know the story. And if you don't, after service, you can read the whole chapter of Luke 9. But I want to focus on what happened, obviously, as I read this tonight. What happened when they were coming down the mountain after that wonderful experience for those three men. And there's four groups of people. And I want to try to preach this with the burden I feel and get past my nervousness tonight. But I want to preach this as I believe that the Holy Ghost gave it to me. I don't try to say that lightly, and I don't want to overuse that. But I felt in my spirit this whole week, this portion of Scripture. And as I thought I was going a different way as I studied it, and I couldn't help. I couldn't help as I read the text this week, and God took me in a completely different direction. I want to let the Word of God direct my sermons and not my thought direct the Word of God. So I want to really, really focus on two things, and you'll see it by the end of this service. But for the sake of the CD there, I want to just preach on is all it takes is a word. All it takes is a word. First, I want you to look at in verse number 38 there, you see the dad in this story. Verse number 38, if you would, keep your Bibles open. We're going to go in between Luke 9 and Mark chapter 9, number 9. It's the parallel of this scripture. But it says, behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. This father was touched because of the need of his son. the day before, perhaps earlier that day, he went to the disciples. He knew that Jesus and his disciples were in that place. And he went, I have no doubt, looking for Jesus, looking for the mighty miracle worker, and looking for a help for his boy. And he took them to the disciples, and he was praying, or he was hoping and asking for a miracle, but he didn't find it there. They prayed, I believe, and nothing happened. And maybe, I believe, sometimes when we pray and nothing happens, we're ready to give up. And I don't know if he was ready to give up after that part where they were, nothing happened. But maybe one of them told him, hey, Jesus is going to be back before too long. We didn't do no good, but maybe Jesus can help you. I know Jesus can help you. Or maybe he just by sheer stick-to-itiveness stayed and said, I'm gonna go to the master and find my help. They went walking to meet Jesus there. And then they see him coming down with the three. And maybe the father had a speech prepared. Maybe he had this whole thing memorized, how he was going to talk to Jesus and how he was going to get his son's need met. But I believe, as you read through the scriptures, he just blurted out when he saw Jesus, Master, I beg you, it says, I beseech you, I beg you that you do what you can for my boy. Can you help my son? He was touched with his son's need. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. It comes down to no more praying in prose. We have these often repeated phrases we have, and we come before the Lord, and sometimes we'll catch ourselves saying the same thing over and over again in everyday's prayers, just repeating our prayers. But sometimes we get so desperate that all we can do is come before Jesus and beg him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm not praying in King James English right now, Lord. I'm not praying in alliteration right now, but I'm coming before you with a heavy need, and I need you to move in that need. I don't know if reading through these different stories, he said it came and it went, and I don't know all that means. I don't have all that much experience with it. But I know that he was describing the manifestation of a demon or evil spirit in this, because the Word of God says, he suddenly cries out. It tears him. He foams at the mouth. It bruises him. It won't even hardly let go. It takes him to the edge of his physical strength, and then it just leaves him wasted on the ground. This dad is interceding for his son. This is a perfect picture of intercession. In church, we need intercessors. We need intercessors. That is not the most glamorous calling that everybody can have. That's a lot of times it's an unknown calling for people. And there's probably a lot of people here who are intercessors, who are faithful intercessors. I know I've had three people in the last month come to my wife or I and tell us, I have a burden for you and I'm praying for you. Just knowing that somebody's praying for us helps. Just knowing that helps, that God has put a burden for somebody. But I'm telling you, even more than that lifted our spirits, it's taken the needs of other people before God in prayer. It's not a selfish prayer. It's not a premeditated prayer for blessing, but it's something for somebody else. God, would you bless them? God, would you help them? They're struggling. They need you. Or you're praying for your lost loved ones. God, would you save them? God, would you set them free? God, they're bound by this or they're bound by that. Would you set them free? That's an unselfish prayer. And the picture of this father here is exactly I found it this week, the picture of an intercessor. First, he cried out. It says a man of the company cried out. He was desperate. Mark 9 said he cried out and said with tears. He not only cried out, but he cared. He said, I beseech you, I beg you. God knows the attitude that we pray with. He knows everything about us. He knows when we're going through the motions. And we should be disciplined and pray every day. And sometimes we feel like our prayer is not getting to God. It's just staying there where we can hear it. But I'm telling you, God knows the attitude that we pray with. God knows when we're burdened. And God will give us a burden if we'll pray for it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What does it do? It availeth much. It works much. It works much, that effectual, that fervent prayer, that prayer from your inner being where you're really praying for somebody, not just going through the motions. He cried out, he cared, and then he came to the right place. He took his need and his son's need to Jesus. He did first what we so often do. We take our troubles to man. We talk to others about it. We tell them all the things that are going wrong, and really it might help to share our burdens with somebody else. But if we're not taking it to God too, and they're not taking it to God, it does no good. It does no good. He came to the right place. He may have missed the mark the first time, but he kept taking it to where he got help. He took it to Emmanuel, God with us. God was with him that day. We had the dad, and then secondly, we had the doubters. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 40 and 41, it says, I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. The disciples saw the need. Jesus saw it. But first the disciples saw it. And by those last four words of verse number 40, they couldn't do anything with it. They tried. They tried to be good Christ followers. They tried and they went through the motions. But we see the reason, Jesus shows us the reason that they couldn't. He said, in one word, he described that failure. It said, faithless. Thou faithless. Oh, faithless generation. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. In spite of all that they saw, in spite of all that they went through with Jesus, they still, in this case, didn't have the faith that they needed. In Matthew's account, it's in the book of Matthew 2. They asked him why they couldn't, and this was his reply. And in Matthew 17, 19 through 21, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What does that tell you? We need to pray and fast more, for one. I need to pray and fast more so we can increase our faith. How many times have I doubted God? And I'm just being honest here. I don't know if this will be good or bad here. But how many times have I doubted God when I was faced with uncertain circumstances? You go through something and you wonder, God, are you going to move in this? God, are you going to move in this? You know, he done it before. He did it before. But are you going to move this time? I know he's never failed. I know he's never forsaken me. I know he's always faithful. But still, at times, you wonder, God, what are you doing here? Why is this happening? And we need to have faith. Faith is what removes it from our hands and our minds and puts it in God Almighty's hands. That's what faith does. Verse 40 is the perfect example of what happens when we try to do it ourselves. The Bible says, and they could not. When we try to do things in our own power, and a lot of us, a lot of people, temperament, and the older I get, I find the more I become that way. Try to take care of stuff myself, but that's always the end of it. When there's a need that only Jesus can move in, and we try to do something, it's worthless. David Wilkerson, he wrote in an article a long time ago, he said, doubt is the sin that God hates most. Doubt is the sin that God hates most. Doubt is the name of the road which leads to losing faith. Doubt is the name of the road which leads to losing faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. We're saved by grace through faith. There's a lack of power in their lives at that time due to their lack of faith. We saw the dad and then we saw the doubters. But here, number three, we see the demonized. He was bound. He was bound. Verse number 42 in Luke 9 says, as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to the father. He was not able to announce his need to Jesus. This week as I studied this, I saw so many different types of people nowadays in these verses. not necessarily bound by a demon or possessed by a demon, but they could be, I guess. But the father, in Mark chapter number 9, the father said that this boy had a dumb spirit, right? A spirit that couldn't talk. And he said he'd had it from a child. As he was a child, he's had this. Jesus asked him, how long has he had this? And then Jesus said, when he rebukes it in Mark chapter number 9, he said, thou dumb and deaf spirit. He couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. He had a dumb spirit, or a spirit that wouldn't allow him to talk. And I feel like in this time there are those that can address their need to God. Whether their circumstances, whether they refuse to, I don't know. I remember a few years ago at E-Town Youth Camp on a Friday night. It was the year that Brother Homer was scheduled to preach those nights, and he had a wreck that day, and the other man, I can't remember his name, preached it, and he done a great job. But then there's a boy at the altar that probably nobody in here remembers or knows. He's from way away from us, but he was praying in the altar for hours, literally over an hour. And we at the end of the service, I was praying with our boys, and when they were done, I moved over to him and couldn't really get to him, but I watched him, and he could not open his mouth. He could not open his mouth, and I watched him as people were praying for him to get saved and praying for him to come to Christ, and I felt inside of myself, and I could see that as he was struggling, he couldn't open his mouth. He was bound by a spirit. He was bound where he could not open his mouth. They were saying, just praise him. Say a praise to Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I thank you. Going through that whole thing that we do sometimes when we believe someone's bound by a spirit. And he could not open his mouth. And I thought, as I read this, I thought of that boy. And I thought, how many people are bound by that spirit where they won't or they can't open their mouth to God? People go through a whole church service and not open their mouth and praise God. They'll go through the whole week and not open their mouth and confess Christ. They won't open their mouth and praise God. Bound by a spirit, or they won't praise God in their own flesh. They just won't do it. Worse than that, even, that this spirit wouldn't even allow him to hear. As this demon terrorized him, he couldn't hear words of comfort or words of truth. He couldn't hear the scriptures being read at the synagogue. He couldn't hear his teachers at the synagogue. They probably didn't even send him. Probably sat in the corner of his house, and they just waited for another fit to take him. He was bound. Jesus said, whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear. But he was bound. He couldn't hear. I believe some people are so bound by the spirit of this world that they can't hear in their spiritual ears what God would have them to hear. Or they won't speak out. They won't speak out because they're bound by the spirit of this world. Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter number 15, it's in verse number 14 and 15, it says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. He's saying they won't hear me. People have literally stopped up their spiritual ears and closed their spiritual eyes. Why? It might be through rebellion. It might be through just ignorance. But they've drowned out the voice of God so often that now they can't hear. They've seared their conscience. I heard Brother Lester preach, and Amanda laughs at me because I'll be telling some of his illustrations while he's preaching with him. I can't help it. I love him. And he tells of this boy in Virginia somewhere. He's preached all over, but he tells of this boy in Virginia where they're at a party after a service, and he said he felt something just shoot out of him, the Holy Ghost. Boy, he said it was like hot lava. I can't forget that phrase, hot lava coming out of his mouth. And he spoke, the Holy Ghost spoke through him. He never said what the Holy Ghost said. And as he said that, a boy flipped over across the room out of his chair backwards and fell into the floor. A long story short, they were talking after they had prayed for him, and that boy had been delivered from that demon that had possessed him. He said, "What happened? How did this happen? You go to church every service. How did this happen?" And that boy said, "I started by just not listening or heeding to the voice of God in a service." God would tell him, God, he'd feel that spirit come by. "I should raise my hands. I should worship God," but he didn't want to do it. So he kept his hands down. "I should stand and testify. God, I feel like God's leading me to testify," but he wouldn't do it. He just kept his hands, or he kept his mouth shut. And so many people are doing that spiritually. We've done it in the natural, huh? Running a jackhammer or a loud saw, you'll put on your ear protection so you don't ruin your hearing. Huh? You've done it. You parents might have done it. You dads, while you're trying to go to sleep and the kids are still up, you put your earbuds in so you can play some preaching on the off the internet, and so they won't keep you awake. Whatever, you've done it. You've drowned it out in the natural, but people are doing that spiritually. You will see, and we've seen it in our own church, a message go out in tongues and an interpretation come, and you know it's for someone, but they don't respond. Or you've heard a sermon. You might have been the person. You hear a sermon and say, "I know I need to respond to that, but what will people think?" We stick our fingers in our ears and say, "God, I can't hear you. God, I can't hear you. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to change. I don't want people to know that I have that need in my life." All the while, searing their conscience. We push to the side, or they push to the side, godly counsel. They harden their hearts when the preacher hits their pet sin because they think he's just preaching that because so-and-so told him that I was struggling with that. Oh, the Holy Ghost told him, and you need to yield to God, not to a man. You don't need to yield to that, but you need to yield to God, the one that holds your soul in the palm of his hand, or he could hold it in the palm of his hand. So many people are searing their conscience. Just sticking that hot iron to their conscience so that the nerves of it won't feel when that Holy Ghost comes by and pricks their heart and says, "You need to stop. You need to get up there. You need to do something, or you need to stop something." So many people. You know what you're saying when you do that? You say, "I'm just staying back. I'm not going forward and praying. I'm not praying at my seat. I'm not taking care of that." You're saying, "God, I'll do whatever I want to do. God, I'll do whatever I want to do." You might not feel that in your heart. I feel the Lord. You might not feel that in your heart, but that's what you're saying. "God, I'll do whatever I want to do." You're shaking your fist at an almighty and all holy God. "God, I'll do it when I want to. I'll take care of this in my own time. I care more about what people think than what you think." I really thought I'd feel the part of intercession more. I really thought I'd go that way more. But I'm telling you, don't stick your fingers in your ears when God's speaking to you. Don't sear your conscience. Don't burn it out and kill that thing. Kill the sin, not your conscience. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity. We stop there. We preach to the young people all the time. Rebellions as a sin of witchcraft. But right after that, stubbornness is as iniquity. There's a lot of people that are just stubborn. I've set my neck. I'm not going that way. I'm facing the way that I want to face, and I'm not turning. That way's too tight for me. Huh? That living isn't what I feel like I need to do. I talked to a man up north one time, and I said, "The Bible says this." The Bible says, and I won't go into what we were talking about. And he said the words right after I quoted the Bible to him. He said, "Well, that's not how I believe it." I don't care how you believe it. That's what God said. We can't go against God's word. I'm not up here naming stuff. Don't get your seatbelt on. I'm wanting the Holy Ghost to do that. It'll last longer if the Holy Ghost names it. But I'm telling you, when we set our neck against what God wants us to do, when we stand strong, when we think we're standing against man, but it's in the Word of God, we're sinning against God. It's a sin of rebellion. It's as witchcraft. You can take stubbornness if you like that word better, but it's still sin. God isn't interested in our opinion. He's not interested in my opinion. I've taught whole lines of messages entitled what we believe match what the Bible says? Does what we believe match what the Bible says? Bible says if we add words to God's word, that's just as wrong as taking words out of it. I'm telling you, God help us to be obedient to God's word. So having said all that, all right, what can we do? Goodness, it's quiet in here. Lord, help us. Said all that, what can we do? We focus sometimes on everything but this. Number four, we see the deliverer in this text. Luke 9:42, it says, while he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. But the second part of this verse, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. All it took was a word from the Lord. All it took was a word from the Lord. I've heard more preaching these last few years at youth camps and at youth retreats and conferences about picking yourself up by your bootstraps and deciding that no matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus, and we need to do that. But sometimes we come up against stuff that only Jesus can take care of. If you're trying to get out of sin on your own, you're going to fail every time. Only Jesus can set you free from sin. You can plug your ears right now. You can harden your heart. But only Jesus can set you free from sin. I agree that we have to be willing to endure all the way to the end. The same shall be saved. And to put up with hardships. But with the Spirit of God helping me, we must be careful not to leave Jesus out of the equation. He blots out our sin. He casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. We are nothing outside of Christ. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our right works outside of Christ are unpresentable before Christ. Our right works outside of Christ are unholy. Are unholy. That's the Bible, folks. That's the Bible. Everything good that we can do, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Do a word study on that sometimes, a Bible study on that. You'll understand that cannot stand before God Almighty. Our works, the best thing you can do, and Mother Teresa, with all that she did, all the good that she did, if she never trusted Christ as her Savior, she went to the same hell that Hitler went to. Without Christ, outside of Christ, it is nothing. We need to quit basing our holiness on what we do and find it in Christ. It's the Word of God. Find it in Christ. Whatever you do isn't good enough. But in Christ, we are pure and spotless before an almighty God. An almighty God. Who holds us in the palm of his hand, who applied his blood to our life, and now can't even see our sin. I tried so long to do it in my own power. That's why I'm passionate about it. Christ washed me clean. I can stand before him now. I can stand before him now unashamed, not because of my works, but because of his blood. Aren't you thankful for his blood, church? Set us free. It set us free. One sacrifice for once. We don't have to go back yearly, but we can cry out to our God. We can cry out to our God and be made holy by our God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 4 tells us that Jesus is the one who will set us free. I love this. I wish there was a videotape of it. Luke 4 verse number 17, so I could see the faces of the Pharisees. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive." Hallelujah. and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It was in their ears, but a lot went out and refused to hear it. That verse says the bruised. I just noticed that. The bruised. I've noticed that part before, but connecting it to this other, the devil would throw him down, the man said, and bruising him. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set those that were bound at liberty, but he also came to set at liberty those that were bruised. Huh, this boy, it was another fulfilling of the prophecy. I've set free those that are bruised, as those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all those others that were sitting in that synagogue. They heard Jesus say that, and he went and sat down. They knew that there was something that he was trying to say, and most of them were wanting to not believe it. I can't believe he said that. They're watching him sit down there, and Jesus just began to say to them as he was sitting out in the crowd, this day that prophecy's fulfilled in your ears. You've heard it, you've seen it. Now get set free. But we know the story. We know the story that so many of them weren't set free. They saw Christ. They saw the one that they'd been waiting for. The word made flesh after 400 years. I'm not hearing anything. The word made flesh came down and was dwelling among them and had been for 30 years. And yet they didn't hear what he had to say. They refused to see what he was showing them. Jesus Christ came down to set even the Pharisee free. But they were so attached and bound by the law that they had created in themselves. They were so bound by it that they couldn't be free. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. But they still couldn't be free because they didn't go to Jesus for their freedom. Thank God that we know the truth. Thank God that I didn't grow up in a Muslim country and never heard about Jesus. Thank God that I didn't grow up in one of these other countries in Africa, never heard about Jesus. You should thank God that you heard about Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Whew, I need to get a hold of myself. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. So many people, oh, God help us. So many people sit on a pew week after week, month after month, year after year, and never taste of the goodness of God. Why? Because they've stopped up their ears. Our God is good. He's not holding anything good back from his people. He's called all men to repentance. You can see that doctrine through the whole New Testament. He's called all men. Whosoever will, let him come. 1 John, Peter, all those writers, Paul wrote about how everyone is welcome. He's not holding anything good. He died that all men could receive that blood on their life. But so many people refuse it. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded them. He's stopped up their ears, or they've stopped it up themselves. So many verses, Jesus speaking. I'm trying to think of it and I can't. It's there, but I can't pull it out. Jesus said there's going to be a great falling away. There's a lot of churches that don't follow the teachings of Scripture. He's not talking about them falling away because they'd have to get something before they can fall away from it. Like in Hebrews 4, I believe. What is it? It's talking about Bible-believing churches, people that are really saved, falling away. Some have tasted of the goodness of God. I'm preaching too long, I'm sorry. But some have tasted of the goodness of God, and in the last days, which we are living in, I believe, there's going to be a great falling away. A great falling away. That means in our churches, people are going to fall away. They're going to fall away. That doesn't mean they fall away out of church. That means they fall away from the truth. It can mean that they fall away out of church. They're falling away from the truth. What is that? That Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ keeps us. It's not of the law. It's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. It's in Jesus. Thank God. I don't know if this, thank God for Jesus. Thank him for all that he's done. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for sin. God, thank you for sending your son, your only begotten son. So many people blind themselves. They stop up their ears all through service. They don't want to hear it. They blind themselves. They keep themselves busy with other things, even during service. Why? They're just sticking their fingers in their ears. God, I want to do what I want to do. God, I want to go how I want to go. But we need to get to Jesus. Just a word from Jesus will set people free. Man, come to the piano if you would. This day is scripture fulfilled in your ears. Praise God. Praise God that Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies. That we're no longer like the Jews, still looking for the Messiah. We know who the Messiah is. We know that he's able to save because he saved us. For the altar call, I was praying about this afternoon. And I want to do it in two parts. And this first part ain't going to be easy, and I don't want to make it easy. I think making altar calls easy is more for the preacher than it is for the person who needs to pray. But for those who are bound, you see the need and you see that you're bound. You need to come to Jesus. You're hearing right now. You need to step out and come to Jesus. This won't, doing the altar call this way, not having everybody stand up and bow their heads, raise their hands, it's not going to help. But I want to tell you, if you'll step out, you won't ever have to have the devil battle you with, well, I only went because they came and got me. I only went because this or that. I only went because everybody else was gone. If you need to be set free, step out in the name of Jesus. Step out in the name of Jesus. Quit trying to do it yourself. Give it to God. Give it to God. Told you it wouldn't help the altar call much. I'm telling you, you can get a hold of Jesus tonight and be set free. Don't let pride hold you back. Don't let anything else hold you back. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. The second part, this altar call, I want to make a call for intercession. That father, it was a beautiful picture. I know it was his son, but he was still interceding for that boy. He was desperate to get him to God. He cried out. He cared about his son. And then he came to the right place. I want to encourage us tonight to intercede. When you pray at your seat or you pray up here around the altars, don't just go through the motions, but take a specific need to God. Take a specific person to God. Someone other than yourself, if you're not praying to be freed from something. But pray and ask God to help them. Go because you care. Go with a burden. Don't go through the motions, but go with a burden. Go to the right place. Let's stand if you would. I'll give those first ones an opportunity. If you want to step out, if you want to be set free, step out right now in the name of Jesus. There's people here that need to be set free. I know it. I know it in my soul. I know it. There's people here that need to be set free. Step out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you can be free tonight. You can be free tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're great, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Thank you, God, for your word, moving these altars in a mighty way. In a mighty way, Lord. We're interested in seeing you work. We're interested in grabbing a hold of you tonight, Lord. Move in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Come and pray, church. Come and pray. Come with a burden in your heart. Come ready to grab hold of the